are faithful, Master. You are worthy to receive all glory, all honor, and all praise. And we come to you looking, seeking, hoping, trusting, surrendering, and touching your presence, your love, your will, touching every area of your character, that we may be more like you, Master. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound as we repent for every area of sin, transgression, iniquity, works of the flesh, dead works. We repent for anything we said that was not of you. We repent, Lord. Let your blood wash us, let your stripes heal us, and let your Spirit fill us as we welcome Holy Spirit to come in here to take us to the throne room of our Father, to bring revelation and confirmation and manifestation, to bring your love, your power, your will, and your kingdom, to restore in us a thirst and hunger for the lost, to restore in us a thirst and hunger for your presence, to restore in us a thirst and hunger for your love and unity, so forgiveness can be established, and so the unity of your Spirit can be expressed. Jesus, you said, call me and you would answer us and show us great and mighty things. Please, Master, open our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, and our hearts to receive what you have for us. Position us towards no longer we that live, but you that live, that you may be glorified in every area of our life, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Two important teachings that have been released, a wave of revolution, and in God we trust. 1 Peter chapter 4. Is everybody there in verse 12? Let's read it together, okay? Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. So don't think it strange, man. Don't let the devil tell you you're the only one, because you're really not. I mean, you're the only one, but you're not the only one that's getting the trial, because you're unique, and God knows exactly that unique trial that he's prepared for you. It's a unique trial for your unique individual. And the purpose of that unique trial is for Christ to be manifested in you. As though some strange thing happened to you. Oh my goodness, how could this happen to me? I just can't believe it could happen to me. I have been doing all the right things, supposedly. But rejoice to the extent, come on, that you what? Partake of Christ's suffering. Rejoice. You get an opportunity to partake of his suffering. That when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. And I said reproached for the name of Christ, not reproached for disobedience. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. If anyone suffers as a Christian, that means they're Christ-like, Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? So you understand that these trials that we're going through, don't think it's strange. It's because judgment is in the house of God, and you're being judged by God. Not in the judgment of hell or heaven. You're being judged by your fruits. Because judgment is in a judgment in the house of God means he's judging you by your fruits where you're at. He wants to know if Christ's character is flowing through you. He wants to know what you're connected with. Whether you're connected with religiosity, with familiar spirits, with fear, with doubt, whatever you're connected with is you're going to get tried on. So it's exposed. Because there's something you do not see. Is everybody okay? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Now, understand this, that many people think that they're suffering towards the will of God when they're really suffering to their own desires. And it's not the will of God. But they say it's the will of God, but it's not really the will of God. It's just something that their desire is more than the will of God. Let me share something very important. Your hope in this, in other words, we have hope in the Lord, right? Well, your hope can actually look beyond your fruits. Because you may have so much hope in something instead of God that you can't see your own fruits. So in this, and because we are in the arena right now, that is judgment in the house of God, because God is getting ready to judge the world. And he's going to judge the world by their fruits. Now, fruit grows off of a tree, doesn't it? So you're going to find out what tree you're eating from. And the world eats from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but we're to eat from the tree of life. So our fruit should always maintain an area of righteousness, peace, joy, love, the fruits of the Spirit. Patience, self-control, hello, long-suffering, not grumbling and complaining, not blaming it on others, not getting goofy, but standing strong in the faith with Christ. Now, time of judgment, in other words, so that in this of time of judgment, because the church is being judged, his body is being judged, in this we will suffer. What are you suffering? You are suffering the things in the area that is not of the will of God. Now, you may be walking in the will of God, but the things that you're associated with may not be the will of God. So God is trying to pull you out from those areas that you're associating with that is not his will. So things may happen in your life. Now there's an area where, again, you can suffer for the will of God, but when you're truly suffering for the will of God, it is joyful. It is not burdensome. When you are suffering for the will of the flesh, it is burdensome, even though you may think it's the will of God. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Go to chapter 5 and verse 8. Be what? Sober. Be what? Vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It says something important. It says, resist him steadfast where? In the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So everybody goes through it. And the purpose of that trial, which you may think is strange for you, it just doesn't seem to fit your schedule. Hello? It's kind of like out of, this can't be God. It's not his time to suffer, for me to suffer yet. I'm not prepared for this. Hello? Everybody goes through. No matter who you are, if you're in the body, you will be chastened by your father and you will be attacked by the devil. The important thing is to discern which one is what. And you won't if you're not in the Spirit. You'll be trying to cast out the Holy Ghost when He's the one dealing with you. Are you listening? And you can't cast out the Holy Ghost. He'll rebuke you. So it says, resist the devil, right? Steadfast in the faith. In other words, we're to be sober and vigilant. Now, there's something very important you must know. That's going to take something. There's a word I'm going to mention that many of us just don't like. Discipline. But if you're in the Spirit, you love discipline. You love it. Discipline. It's going to take what? Discipline. And there is a key to discipline. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In fact, you'll find that God will allow these trials to come because you're not disciplined. And trying to get you into a place to become disciplined. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus not with uncertainty, but I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I what? Discipline. So he's fighting in the arena to keep himself disciplined. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. An undisciplined life results in a disqualified work and will of God. An undisciplined life will result in a disqualified work and will of God. Does everybody understand that? So he says here, listen, I discipline myself. I discipline myself. I do what I'm supposed to do no matter what it is. I do not go by how I feel, what I see, or what I think. I discipline myself. It doesn't matter what anybody says or what anybody thinks. I will maintain discipline. In other words, I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to restrain myself from doing what it wants to do. Are you listening? That is discipline. I'm going to restrain my mouth from what it wants to say. I'm going to restrain my thoughts from what they want to think. I'm going to restrain my steps from where they want to walk because I'm going to be disciplined. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Would you read it with me? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a faithful saying. If a man or a woman desires the position of a bishop, that's one who oversees with or has authority. They desire a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, a husband or wife of one wife or one husband, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, and able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, and not covetous. One who rules his own house well. What house? This house, your body. All of these things are associated with discipline. Having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule or maintain, what I want in this area, rule means maintain discipline, his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony or recommendation among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. A novice is not disciplined and has no right in position of authority until discipline is maintained. It is the character of self. Are you listening? Let me share. We are to discipline and maintain the character of self. Right? Why? Because self is the offspring of darkness. So the character of Christ can reign. See, we are always making way for Christ. Christ already made way for you. Now you make way for Christ the rest of your time on this planet. That's why he requires that me and you be disciplined so we are not disqualified for good works in the will of God. So discipline will restrain self. It will restrain the character of self so that the character of Christ can reign. Go to Matthew 26. In verse 40. 26:40. Let's read it together. Then he came to the disciples and found them what? Oh, real disciplined. They were what? Sleeping. And he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Couldn't you pray with me for 1 hour, man? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Weak to the things of God. It rejects, it doesn't want to do the things of God. He'd rather just eat, sleep, and be stupid. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed and saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me until unless I drink of it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he what? He left them. He what? He left them. Why? Because they weren't disciplined. They didn't make themselves stay awake and pray. They let self reign. And he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? You ain't got this yet. Nobody even stood up. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. He didn't say sinner, he said sinners. Rise, let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand. See, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. An undisciplined person will sleep when he is to be awake and will be awake when he needs to sleep. Timing is off in his life. And they're led by emotions of the flesh and not the spirit. They become betrayers of the will of God. Are you listening? Why? Because a person that is undisciplined cannot do the will of God. So he becomes a betrayer to the will of God. Is everybody okay? Titus 2. How many of y'all know consistency is associated with discipline? It's amazing how many people are disciplined to get to work on time, but they're not disciplined to pray. Because the flesh is what? Weak, even though the spirit is willing. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God. Now, what's the grace of God? It's the will of God, isn't it? Amen. It's the plan of God. And the plan of God is to escape the deception of the devil and the wrath of God. That's called grace. And it says, for the grace of God that it brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no one despise you. In other words, rebuke, correct, expose, chasten when we're not disciplined. I'm telling you, this is so essential in the getting through. If you'll maintain discipline in the things that God has given you to do, you'll go all the way through. But if you're not willing to maintain discipline, you will sway. Is everybody okay? Because remember, it will move you out of position if you're undisciplined. You know, an undisciplined person is always anxious. Anxious. I got to do it. Anxious. Why? Because they cannot restrain self. They make decisions according to feelings. They make decisions according to everything they hear. And they always say, this is God, this is God, this is God. And let me tell you, a majority of it is not. Because your flesh loves to speak, and so does your soul. Hello? 1 Peter 4. See, discipline, a disciplined individual will discern the voice of God. An undisciplined individual always say they hear God, they hear God, they hear God, they hear God, they hear God. Are you listening? Yes, God speaks to us on a daily basis. But see, they place their ability to hear God in everything that they do. Well, this is what the Lord told me. Oh, this is what the Lord told me. When it really the Lord hasn't told them anything. Because they're undisciplined. And they can't truly discern the difference of the voice of God and what is God. So what they do is they take both voices. The majority of the time, one is a familiar spirit and one is the voice of God. One is the emotional arena, one is the flesh, or the voice of your past. And it's our responsibility to discern it, but you'll never discern it because it is practiced. See, and if you're not disciplined, you can't practice it. So you've got to rely on somebody else to tell you. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting confirmation to know. I always look for confirmation, whether it's God or not. No matter what. When I'm uncertain, he'll give me something to let me know. But in this, it takes practice. See, an individual that's not practicing the things that have been given to him is undisciplined. Is everybody okay? That person will never finish anything if they're undisciplined. They'll start it, they'll be emotionally excited on something, but they won't finish it. You know how many times you've started sports or started a project or something, whatever it is, and you're all excited, yeah, you're all emotional, yeah, let's do it, and you do and get all this stuff, and then the emotion goes away. Well, see, that's where discipline kicks in. But if you're undisciplined, when the emotion goes, the feeling goes, the joy goes, and all the other stuff goes, you'll go with it. Because you're undisciplined. See, discipline becomes a part of our life. We must be disciplined to pray every morning. We must be disciplined to know when to stop eating. I know we all struggle with that occasionally. But we must be disciplined in these areas. Is everybody all right? 1 Peter chapter 4. Is everybody there yet? Verse 1 and 2. You notice that came out during this wonderful season that we're in now. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. It's called a disciplined mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Does that take discipline? Yes. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking, parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Why? Because you're no longer doing the same things that you used to do. Why? Because you're maintaining discipline. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. No longer live in the flesh for lust, but to the will of God. That takes discipline. Galatians 5. A novice is one who has not mastered discipline. We must master discipline. Has everybody got it? Galatians 5 and verse 24. It says, and those who are what? Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Provoking, envying. You know, people provoke people on purpose because of the demon they're associating with. See, you must have discipline to discern these things also. How many of y'all know you need discipline to discern? You know, there are people out there who provoke. They want to cause an argument. I get challenged all the time by these religious demons, especially in the jail. They always want to put their opinion above the Word of God or try to be prideful to think that they know more than you do. And it's not about who knows more, it's about who you know. Discipline. To keep flesh crucified, it takes discipline. Because if you're not willing to allow your flesh to be crucified, you will never stay in position. And that takes discipline. Does everybody got this? It takes consistency. It takes practice. Let me tell you, you don't get it in a year. That's what God calls a novice. Individuals that aren't willing to receive counsel are not disciplined, because it has nothing to do with age or how long you've been. If there's a struggle going on that you haven't mastered yet, you better get counsel on it. Hello? Is everybody okay? Go to Ephesians 4. In verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. In other words, the anointed one and his anointing, his discipline. If indeed you had heard from him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off what? Concerning your former conduct. It takes what? Discipline. The old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. See, you must put on a new man. How do you put on a new man? By restraining the old one. It takes discipline. And you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You have not learned, you've not absorbed, you've not taken hold of. Has everybody got that? learned is the area where you absorb something, where you grab hold of it. It's everything to you. Christ, the Anointed One's disciplined life. Discipline of the thoughts, of the emotions, of choices that you make. Discipline. Go to Hebrews 6. What's discipline? It is to restrain the what? Self, the old man. In verse 1. Therefore, leaving the what? Discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to what? Perfection. You'll never go on to perfection if you are not disciplined. Disciplined. In other words, see, in discipline, you'll be able to see things through. Things that you do. Whether you're an example to someone or a stumbling block to someone. You are disciplined. Why? Because you're not going to do something that you feel like doing. You're going to do something that's going to be pleasing to God. So every one of us in here needs to be an example, right? Well, you can't be an example without being disciplined. And you can't be trusted unless you're disciplined. If an individual is not disciplined, I don't want to hear anything they got to say. If they can't discern the arena of being a good example in front of people, how can they be disciplined? They can't. Does everybody understand that? And if they can't be disciplined, then I know that if they want to tell me that they got something from God, I can't trust them. Because they can't be disciplined. Does everybody understand it? So that's a fruit that you're going to judge. If somebody comes up to you and says, listen, I have a word for the Lord for you. You tell them, I got a word for the Lord for you. Get disciplined. If you can't be a right example in front of people and be the example of Christ in front of people, then you are not disciplined. Does everybody understand that? No matter where we are, no matter what's going on. And I'm not saying we're not going to make mistakes. Hello. And if you're not the same behind closed doors and in front of the doors, you are not disciplined. I know that there's private things that, you know. Hello. But, you know, we want to be disciplined. In other words, the same character of Christ. Is everybody okay? Good. Let's try Hebrews 6. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of what? Repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. In other words, you and I can't renew them. Only God can. But it originated because they were undisciplined. They didn't maintain discipline. They didn't go on to perfection. They needed to go back to the old foundations again. Are you listening? Well, we're going to be moving on to perfection. The Bible says, be perfect, for he is perfect. Discipline lets us go on to perfection. It is a desire attribute. It is a desired attribute of the Holy Spirit that we be disciplined. Has everybody got this? It is to be perfect in the Spirit, not flesh. And only God can restore that person. There isn't anything you can do when somebody has gotten to that degree where they have tasted all the goodness of God and broken covenant and chose to go back. You can tell them Jesus loves you, but they can't hear you. Only God can restore them. Does everybody understand this? And it started because they were undisciplined. They did not maintain a disciplined life. 2 Corinthians 7. So do you think a person that's prideful is disciplined? No. In verse 8, 2 Corinthians 7, 8. For even if I made you, is everybody with me? Sorry with my letter, I did not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I perceived that some epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. In other words, he was regretting that the epistle made them sorry. In other words, they were sorry because they got snagged. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner that you might suffer loss from us and nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Does everybody see that? For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in the godly manner. What diligence it produced in you. What clearing of yourself. What indignation. What fear. What vehement desire. What zeal. What vindication. In all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Therefore, although I wrote to you, I did not do it for the sake of him who had done the wrong, nor for the sake of him who suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear to you. Sorrow of the world will produce death. Sorrow of God will produce repentance. Now, one of the keys of discipline, and the reason why individuals are sorry they got caught and weren't repentant before they got caught, is because there was no fear of the Lord. There was no fear of God. See, because the fear of the Lord is the key to discipline. And we know that the fear of the Lord is reverence, honor, and respect. Without the fear of the Lord, you cannot be disciplined. There must be a reverence, a fear of God. If there is not a reverence and respect and honor to God, you cannot maintain discipline. And that's what one of the things the devil tries to do, is to remove that reverence to God. Go to Psalm 36. So what is the key of discipline? The fear of the Lord. Psalm 36. In other words, if you truly have the reverence to God, there's things that you just don't do because you maintain discipline. You know, you get these individuals that lie or cheat or abuse their spouses, or they, you know, they're still doing, they try to portray a form of godliness, but yet they are not disciplined. It's impossible. Why? Because the key of discipline is what? Fear of the Lord. Amen. And that fear of the Lord will maintain discipline, and you will be consistent because you want to go on to perfection. In verse 1, Psalm 36, an oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good, and he does not abhor evil. Does everybody see that? There is no fear of the Lord. Why? Because fear of the Lord is the key to discipline. So we must maintain, and how do we maintain the fear of the Lord? By maintaining his presence. Does everybody got that? By maintaining his presence, you stay humble. An undisciplined individual will lose ground. Ground that he has fought for, he will lose it. And he blames others for their problems. They make excuses and put divine priorities into worldly priorities. I'm going to say that again. An undisciplined individual will lose ground that was fought for, and they blame others for their problems. They make excuses, and they put divine priorities into worldly priorities. In other words, they exchange them out. Is everybody with me? Psalm 111. And what's the key to discipline? The fear of the Lord. In verse 10. Now, why are we talking about this? Because the Spirit is bringing these things up because of the importance of the mobilization of God's army. Has everybody got it? Because to be mobilized, while God's mobilizing his army, you must maintain a discipline. But there is a key to discipline, and that is the fear of the Lord. And to maintain the fear of the Lord, you must maintain the presence of God. In verse 10, 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of those who do his commandments, and his praise endures forever. Discipline is wisdom. Now listen, I want you to get this. Discipline is wisdom not understood. Wisdom is discipline understood. Discipline is wisdom not understood, because you don't need to understand it all. You just do it. Are you listening? But there is wisdom is discipline understood. Does everybody get it? I'm going to share this again. I know it sounds weird, but it's okay. Discipline is wisdom not understood, because you don't need to understand it. You just do it. That's discipline. But wisdom is discipline understood. But the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the key to discipline. So there's an area where God wants wisdom in your life, are you listening, to express themselves so that you have wisdom, which is discipline understood. Now you live a life of discipline because it's associated with wisdom. So you make choices according to discipline, not according to how you feel or what you think or what you see. Everybody all right? Good. Psalm 19. Believe me, when I first heard that, I was like, whoa. You had to get in the spirit to understand this thing. Psalm 19 and verse 9. Verse 9, let's read it together. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The fear of the Lord is what? Clean and enduring forever. In other words, the fear of the Lord is clean. Why? Because you maintain discipline, you stay clean. And by maintaining discipline, you will be enduring. You always endure. It doesn't push you out. You maintain. You don't quit. You stand fast. You go all the way to the end, no matter what. You stay disciplined. Is everybody okay? Proverbs 3. Now, what is the purpose of discipline? Is to restrain yourself. Proverbs 3. Verse 7 and 8. Let's read it. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. In other words, in this, we see pride is a force behind an undisciplined life. Pride is the force behind an undisciplined life. But to depart from evil is discipline. In other words, he means do not agree with it. So what's behind an undisciplined life? Pride. Hebrews 5:5. And what is the key of discipline? The fear of the Lord. Hebrews 5 and verse 5. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." Are we priests? Yes. "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his what? Godly fear. He was heard because of his what? Godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered." He learned obedience by the things he suffered. "And having been what? Perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who what? All who what? All who obey." So you think maybe obedience is associated with discipline? If you don't see me after service, please. Yes. It says that, "And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him," who are disciplined. "Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." In this, we understand that his obedience was learned, wasn't it? His obedience was what? It was learned. In other words, he learned it. He practiced it. He was disciplined. In other words, in this area, you must be disciplined to become obedient. If you're not disciplined, you can't become obedient. And it is learned. It's something that's put into practice. And God checks you out. There'll be times when he'll tell you to go do something and it don't make no sense. He wants to know if you're going to be disciplined. He'll tell you to go somewhere and go do something. You'll think, "Lord, what? This don't make no sense." He said, "I know. I was checking your discipline. I want to make sure that you were obedient. Now come on back and go do this." Whoa. See, sometimes before God sends you to go do something, he wants to make sure you know his voice. So it takes discipline, doesn't it? It takes practice. Is everybody okay? You know, Jesus had godly fear, didn't he? Of course, he was God, but he still reverenced God as an example. That was the key to his discipline, wasn't it? And so doing that, he stayed obedient unto death all the way. I'm going to close at James 4. 1 simple verse explains it all. What does it say? "Therefore, submit to God." Oh, hallelujah. Does it take discipline to submit to God? Does it take obedience? Does it take the fear of the Lord? Yeah. "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you." That's it. Resist the devil. But you cannot resist the devil if you are not disciplined. You can't. How much you are submissive to God is how much you can resist the devil. People wonder why that the devil is always kicking their butt. It's because they're not submissive. They're not disciplined. They wonder why they can't shake things that they're still attached to. Because they're not disciplined. They're not disciplined. Discipline continues. And doesn't stop. It does what it's supposed to do until it's told to do something else. To maintain discipline. Only way, the key of discipline is the fear of the Lord. And to maintain the fear of the Lord, he must maintain his presence. Is everybody all right? You and I and the body of Christ. If everybody in the body of Christ was disciplined, we'd be a lot further than where we are now. We wouldn't always have to go back and pick people up that go back, backslide, touching unclean things. We'd constantly be going forward. Are you listening? If people were just disciplined, people would be delivered. They'd be free if they stayed disciplined. Is everybody all right? You got it? And what's the key to discipline? The fear of the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, we repent in every area of our life where we have lacked discipline. We ask, Lord, that you will bring the fear of the Lord to the body of Christ, including ourselves, that we may be more disciplined in every area of our life, that glory would be brought to you. Lord, I pray for each and every one here tonight, that any area where they lack discipline, that you would show us all, instruct us, and bring the fear of the Lord in that area, that we may be disciplined, obedient, submissive, to resist the devil and to kick butt on the devil, and that you would be glorified, so we can continue to gain ground and not lose it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.